Chapter 4. Whether you have been sent to see the principal of your school for throwing wet paper towels at the ceiling to see if they stick, or taken to the dentist to plead with him to hollow out one of your teeth so you can smuggle a single page of your latest book past the guards at the airport, it is never a pleasant feeling to stand outside the door of an office and, as the Baudelaire orphans stood at the door, reading Office of the Head of Human Resources, they were reminded of all the unpleasant offices they had recently visited. On their very first day at Prufrock Preparatory School, before they had even met Isadora and Duncan Quagmire, the Baudelaires had visited the office of Vice Principal Nero and learnt about all of the Academy's strict and unfair rules. When they worked at Lucky Smell's lumber mill, the siblings had been summoned to the office of the owner, who made clear just how dreadful their situation really was. And of course, Violet, Klaus and Sonny had been many, many times to Mr. Poe's office at the bank, where he coughed and talked on the phone and made decisions about the Baudelaire's future that had not proved to be good ones. But even if the children had not had all these unfortunate experiences in offices, it was perfectly understandable that the Baudelaire children had to stand for a few moments in front of the 17th door on the left and gather their courage to knock. "I'm not sure we should take this risk," Violet said. "If Babs has read this morning's edition of the Daily Punctilio, she'll recognize us as soon as we walk through the door. We might as well be knocking on the door of our jail cell." "But the Library of Records might be our only hope," Klaus said. "We need to find out who Jacques Snicket really was, where he worked, and how he knew us. If we get some evidence, we can convince people that Count Olaf is still alive and that we're not murderers."
"Curoi,"
Sonny added, which meant, "Besides, the Quagmire triplets are far, far away, and we have only a few pages of their notebooks. We need to find the real meaning of BFD." "Sonny's right," Klaus said. "In the Library of Records we might even solve the mystery of that underground passageway that led from Jerome and Esme Squalor's apartment to the ashy remains of the Baudelaire mansion."
"Hafiku,"
Sonny said. She meant something like, "And the only way we'll get into the Library of Records is if we talk to Babs, so it's a risk we have to take." "All right," Violet said, looking down at her sister and smiling. "You've convinced me. But if Babs begins looking at us suspiciously, we'll leave. Agreed?"
"Agreed,"
Klaus said.
"Yep,"
Sonny said, and knocked on the door.
"Who is it?"
Babs's voice called out.
"It's three members of Volunteers Fighting Disease," Violet replied. "We're here to volunteer at the Library of Records."
"Come in,"
Babs commanded. And the children opened the door and walked into the office.
"I was wondering when someone would show up,"
the head of human resources continued.
"I was just finishing up reading this morning's paper. These three terrible children are running around killing people."
The Baudelaires looked at one another and were about to run back out of the door when they saw something in the office that changed their minds. The office of the head of human resources at Heimlich Hospital was a small one, with a small desk, two small chairs, and a small window decorated with two small curtains. On the windowsill was a small vase of yellow flowers, and on the wall was a small tasteful portrait of a man leading a horse to a small pond of fresh water. But it was not the furnishings, the flower arrangement, or the tasteful artwork that made the three orphans stop. Babs's voice had come from the direction of the desk, which the Baudelaires had expected, but what they hadn't expected was that Babs was not sitting behind the desk, or on the desk, or even beneath it. Instead, a small square intercom speaker, just like the ones on the outside of the hospital, had been placed in the middle of the desk, and it was from this speaker that the speaking had been spoken. It was strange to hear speaking from a speaker instead of from the person who was speaking, but the children realized they could not be recognized if Babs could not see them, so they did not run out of the room.
"We are three children too,"
Violet said to the speaker, trying to be as honest as she could, "but we'd much rather volunteer in the hospital than embark on a life of crime."
"If you're children, then be silent,"
Babs's voice said rudely.
In my opinion, children should be seen and not heard. I'm an adult, so it follows that I should be heard and not seen. That's why I work exclusively over the intercom. You will be working exclusively with the most important thing we do in this hospital. Can you guess what it is?
Healing sick people, Klaus guessed.
Be silent,
the speaker commanded.
Children should be seen and not heard, remember? Just because I can't see you doesn't mean you should start babbling about sick people. You're wrong, anyway. The most important thing we do at the hospital is paperwork. And you will be working at the Library of Records, filing paperwork. I'm sure this will be difficult for you, because children never have any administrative experience. And,
said Sunny in disagreement. Violet was about to explain that her sister meant something along the lines of, actually, I worked as an administrative assistant at Prufrock Preparatory School, but the intercom speaker was too busy reproving the Baudelaires, a phrase which here means shouting, be silent, at every opportunity.
Be silent,
the speaker shouted.
Instead of chattering away, report to the Library of Records at once. The Library of Records is located in the basement, at the very bottom of the staircase, next to this office. You'll go straight there every morning when the van arrives at Heimlich Hospital, and you'll return straight to the van at the end of each day. The van will take you back home. Are there any questions?
The Baudelaires had plenty of questions, of course, but they did not ask them. They knew that if they said even one word, the intercom speaker would command them to be silent. And besides, they were eager to get to the Library of Records, where they hoped to answer the most important questions of their lives.
Excellent, the speaker said. You're learning to be seen instead of heard. Now get out of this office.
The children got out of that office and quickly found the staircase the speaker had mentioned. The Baudelaires were glad that the route to the Library of Records was so easy to remember, because Heimlich Hospital seemed like a place where it would be very easy to get lost. The staircase curved this way and that, leading to many doors and corridors, and every 10 feet or so, nailed to the wall just below an intercom speaker, there was a complicated map of the hospital, filled with arrows, stars, and other symbols the Baudelaires did not recognize. Every so often, the children would see someone from the hospital walking toward them. Although neither the volunteers fighting disease nor the head of human resources had recognized the three children, it was certain that someone in the hospital must have read the Daily Punctilio, and the Baudelaires did not want to be seen or heard, and they would have to turn and face the wall, pretending to consult the map, so anyone walking by would not see their faces. That was close, Violet sighed in relief, when a group of chatting doctors had gone by, without even glancing at the youngsters. It was close, Klaus agreed, and we don't want it to get any closer. I don't think we should get back on the van at the end of the day, or any other day. Sooner or later we're bound to be recognized. You're right, Violet said. We'd have to walk back through the hospital every day just to get to the van. But where will we go at night? People will think it is odd if three children are sleeping in the Library of Records.
Half,
Sunny suggested. That's a pretty good idea, Violet replied. We could sleep in the unfinished half of the hospital. Nobody will go there at night. Sleep all by ourselves in a half-finished room? Klaus asked. It'll be cold and dark. It can't be much worse than the orphan shack at Prufrock Prep, Violet said.
Danya,
Sunny said, which meant, or the bedroom at Count Olaf's house. Klaus shuddered, remembering how terrible it was when Count Olaf had been their guardian. You're right, he said, stopping at a door which read, Library of Records. The unfinished wing of the hospital can't be that bad. The Baudelaires knocked on the door, which opened almost immediately to reveal one of the oldest men they had ever met, wearing one of the tiniest pairs of glasses they had ever seen. Each lens was scarcely bigger than a green pea, and the man had to squint in order to look at them.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be,
he said.
"But you appear to be children, and you're very familiar children, too. I'm certain I've seen your faces somewhere before."
The Baudelaires looked at one another in panic, not knowing whether to dash out of the room or to try to convince the man he was mistaken. "We're new volunteers," Violet said. "I don't think we've ever met before." "Babs assigned us to work in the Library of Records," Klaus said.
"Well, you've come to the right place," the old man said with a wrinkled smile. "My name is Hal, and I've worked here in the Library of Records for more years than I'd like to count. I'm afraid my eyesight isn't what it used to be, so I asked Babs if some volunteers could help me."
"Wolick,"
Sunny said. "My sister says we're very happy to be of assistance," Violet said. "And we are."
"Well, I'm glad to hear that," Hal said, "because there's a lot of work to be done. Come on in, and I'll explain what you have to do."
The Baudelaires walked through the door and found themselves in a small room with nothing much in it but a small table that held a bowl of fresh fruit. "This is the library?" Klaus said.
"Oh, no," the man said. "This is just an antechamber, a small room I'm using to store my fruit. If you get hungry during the day, you may help yourself to something out of that bowl. Also, this is where the intercom is, so we'll have to report here whenever Babs makes an announcement."
He led them across the room to a small door and took a loop of string out of the pocket of his coat. On the loop of string were hundreds of keys, which made tiny clanging noises as they jostled one another. Hal quickly found the right key to unlock the door.
"This," he said with a small smile, "is the Library of Records."
Hal ushered the children inside a dim room with very low ceilings, so low that Hal's grey hair almost brushed against the top. But although the room was not very tall, it was enormous. The Library of Records stretched out so far in front of the Baudelaires that they could scarcely see the opposite wall, or, as the children looked from side to side, the right and left walls. All they could see were big metal file cabinets with neatly labelled drawers describing the files contained inside. The file cabinets were placed in row after row, as far as the eye could see. The rows were placed very close together, so that the siblings had to walk behind Hal in single file as he gave them the tour of the room.
"I've organized everything myself," he explained. "The Library of Records contains information not only from Heimlich Hospital, but from all over the area. There's information about everything from poetry to pills, from picture frames to pyramids, from pudding to psychology, and that's just in the pea aisle, which we're walking down right now."
"What an amazing place," Klaus said. "Just think of everything we can learn from reading all these files."
No, Hal said, shaking his head sternly. "We're supposed to file this information, not read it. I don't want to see you touching any of these files, except when you're working with them. That's why I keep all these file cabinets locked up tight. Now, let me show you exactly where you'll be working."
Hal led them to the far wall and pointed out a small rectangular hole, just wide enough for Sunny or maybe Klaus to crawl through. Beside the hole was a basket with a large stack of paper in it, and a bowl filled with paper clips.
"Authorities deposit information into the information chute, which begins outside the hospital and ends right here," he explained. "And I need two people to help me file these deposits in the right place. Here's what you do. First, you remove the paper clips,
and put them in this bowl. Then you glance at the information and figure out where it goes. Remember, try to read as little as possible.
He paused, unclipped a small stack of paper, and squinted at the top page.
For instance, he continued, you only have to read a few words to see that the paragraphs are about the weather last week at Damocles Dock, which is on the shore of some lake someplace. So you would ask me to unlock cabinets in aisle D for Damocles, or W for weather, or even P for paragraphs. It's your choice.
But won't it be difficult for people to find that information again? Klaus asked. They won't know whether to look under D, W, or P.
Then they'll have to look under all three letters,
Hal said.
Sometimes the information you need is not in the most obvious place. Remember, paperwork is the most important thing we do at this hospital, so your job is very important. Do you think you can file these papers correctly? I'd like you to start right away.
I think we can, Violet said. But what will the third volunteer do? Hal looked embarrassed and held up the loop of string with all the keys on it.
I lost some of the keys to the file cabinets, he admitted, and I need someone to use some sort of sharp object to open them up.
Me,
Sunny said. My sister means that she'd be perfect for that job, because she has very sharp teeth, Violet explained.
Your sister?
Hal said, and scratched his head.
Somehow I knew you three children were from the same family. I'm certain I was just reading some information about you.
The children looked at one another again and felt a nervous flutter in their stomachs.
Do you read the Daily Punctilio? Klaus asked carefully.
Of course not,
Hal said with a frown.
That newspaper is the worst I've ever seen. Nearly every story they print is an absolute lie.
The Baudelaire smiled in relief. We can't tell you how happy we are to hear that, Violet said. Well, I guess we'd better get to work.
Yes, yes,
Hal said.
Come on, little one. I'll show you where the locked cabinets are, and you two start filing. I just wish I could remember.
The old man's voice trailed off, and then he snapped his fingers and grinned. There are many reasons, of course, why someone might snap their fingers and grin. If you heard some pleasing music, for instance, you might snap your fingers and grin to demonstrate that the music had charms that could soothe your savage breast. If you were employed as a spy, you might snap your fingers and grin in order to deliver a message in secret snapping and grinning code. But you might also snap your fingers and grin if you had been trying hard to remember something and had suddenly succeeded. Hal was not listening to music in the Library of Records. And after 9 months, 6 days, and 14 hours of research, I can say with reasonable certainty that Hal was not employed as a spy, so it would be sensible to conclude he had just remembered something.
I just remembered something, he said. I know why you three seem so familiar.
Hal continued to lead Sunny down another aisle of file cabinets to show her where her teeth could be handy. So his voice floated over to the two older Baudelaires as if he was speaking on an intercom.
I didn't read it, of course, but there was some information about you in the file, about the Snicket fires.